Today is the feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which, as I said, is for us in Anuim a very big feast, a continuation of what we were celebrating yesterday, kind of a companion feast to the great solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the church, this is not considered a very big feast. It's a memorial, but here in Anuim, it's a big feast because yesterday and today are windows into, or entryways into, the very heart of our spirituality, because the hearts of Jesus and Mary show us what our hearts are supposed to be like and what is actually in our hearts when we are united with them, Jesus and Mary. Well, even though this feast is not a big feast in the church, the liturgical year has lots of indications that Jesus and Mary go together. Back in the Christmas season, of course, Mary is the mother, Jesus is the child. We have the feast of Christmas Day, and then on the octave of Christmas, the feast of the Mother of God, Mary, Mother of God. That's at the beginning of Jesus' life. When we get to the end of Jesus' life, we have Jesus on the cross, Mary at the foot of the cross. And we have liturgical feast days celebrating those, the exaltation of the Holy Cross in September and the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. At the beginning of the life of the church, Pentecost, now with the new feast in honor of Our Lady, we have Pentecost Sunday and then the next day, the Feast of Mary, Mother of the Church. And then we have these two feast days, yesterday's Solemnity of the Sacred Heart and today, the feast or memorial of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So Jesus and Mary go together. Jesus, God himself, who took on flesh and made God available to us fully. Mary, who is united with him in every way because she is immaculate, without sin. No obstacle to her receiving and being united with all that Jesus has come to give us. Perhaps this is not considered such a big feast because when we talk about the Immaculate Heart, we immediately think of the Immaculate Conception, which is a very big feast, solemnity, Mary Immaculate. Well, these feast days draw us into the interior life of Jesus and Mary. What's going on inside? Yesterday we focused on Jesus' heart as the representation of divine love. Today we ponder the heart of Mary, that heart which is much more prominent now in the life of the church, especially since Our Lady of Fatima told us that her immaculate heart would triumph. But her heart has been the focus of the church since all the way back from the very beginning, because the Gospels themselves tell us that Mary treasures, ponders things in her heart. The Gospel I just read to you concludes with this line: His mother kept all these things in her heart. So it's not a new devotion. It comes right from the time when Jesus and Mary were still on earth. Well, what is in Mary's heart? Naturally, we think of the words that Jesus spoke, the actions that Jesus did. We think of what Mary received in the message from the angel. We think of her experience at the foot of the cross, her experience on Pentecost. We think of her Assumption. We think of these holy moments and holy words that certainly fill Mary's heart and give her great joy. But we should not limit Mary's pondering simply to what looks holy to us. Mary's heart is much bigger than that. We shouldn't narrow it down to just what we think about when we're in church. Her heart expands to take in everything that God is doing. That's why we say in our prayer before the Mass, we say to Mary, draw us deeply into the life of the church as we ponder the mysteries of creation, redemption, and sanctification celebrated in your maternal heart. We could say your immaculate heart. So what is being celebrated in Mary's heart? all the mysteries of creation, redemption, and sanctification. Everything that God does, everything that he does to save us, everything he does to draw us into holiness, which is pretty much everything. So we don't have to exclude anything in our pondering or in our reflections on what Mary is pondering. Now, I take this direction, make this point that Mary's heart takes in everything, because I have two ideas that are actually come from the world of current affairs, news of the day, which might strike people as being unrelated to this feast. And I'd like to point out that no, these things are in the heart of Mary too. What am I talking about? And these are both controversial issues. One is the whole issue of the LGBT agenda, and the other is the issue of abortion, which neither of which topics people mention at Mass, but I'd like to just touch on them briefly and try to take a Marian perspective on them. Why bring up the whole LGBT agenda? Because the month of June for the activists has been proclaimed Pride Month. Pride Month. And it culminates today in many places, including here in Metro Manila, with a Pride March. Now, the Pride March is given lots of glowing coverage in the news, but it's actually a celebration of something very seriously disordered. It's a proclamation that behavior that is outside the will of God should be accepted and affirmed and legalized. That's why some of you know, I posted it in the Viber group, the Courage group, which is a group that promotes chastity for people who have same-sex attractions. The Courage group today is holding what they call Humble Kneel. So Pride March on one extreme, Humble Kneel on the other extreme. Instead of proclaiming and taking pride in something that is offensive to God, meaning any kind of expressions of sexuality outside of marriage of a man and a woman, the humble kneel is to come before God in prayer, in adoration, asking his grace, asking his mercy, asking for light, for respect for every human person, and for understanding of God's plan for every human person. So that's taking place today on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Does Mary have in her heart this issue? Of course she does. She's concerned about all her children. Those who are struggling with same-sex attraction, those who are struggling with gender dysphoria, those who are in relationships that are tempting them or leading them into sin, those who are pursuing chastity, all of them and all of us are in the heart of Mary, the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There's nothing that's not in her heart. You think the war in Ukraine is not in her heart? Of course it's there. You think the people who are suffering from the terrible inflation and the food shortages are not in Mary's heart? Of course they're there. All these social and political and economic issues, Mary is deeply concerned, not just with issues, but with the people. Okay, so one issue that is certainly in Mary's heart and one topic that Mary is interceding about is this whole issue of gender identity and sexual orientation. Always trying to draw people into holiness, draw people into fullness, into happiness, into union with God. That's what it's all about. It's not about proclaiming the greatness of our own plan, our own disorders. It's about proclaiming the greatness of God and his plan. That's one topic. Now, the other topic I mentioned is abortion. And the reason why this is in mind is because just yesterday in the United States, the Supreme Court handed down its decision to overturn the ruling that they made about 50 years ago, which claimed that there was a right to abortion in the Constitution. That's an old problem in the United States. Almost 50 years ago, 50 years old, there was this claim by the Supreme Court that the Constitution protects the right to abortion, which it certainly doesn't. There's no mention of abortion in the Constitution. I talk about the American Constitution. I think in the Philippine Constitution, abortion is explicitly rejected. Is that right? So in the Constitution of this country, life, the right to life is upheld. There's no right to abortion. In the United States, this erroneous judgment of 50 years ago claimed that the Constitution implies a right to abortion, and that's the disorder that the country has been suffering under for 50 years. Well, anyway, yesterday, on the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that error was corrected, and now the issue goes back to the legislature. It doesn't take away anybody's rights. What it does is it says this is not a matter for the court to decide. It's not in the Constitution. You have to make laws. So now the states have to make laws. Anyway, it's a huge change in the United States. It's a huge victory for those who are working to defend unborn children. Huge. And it will cause a lot of chaos for sure in the society. It might be in the news here too, I don't know. Now, the problem with abortion, of course, is that the pro-life side accuses the abortion activists of being anti-child and they only think about women, the rights of women. The people who are supporting the right to abortion say the pro-lifers are only concerned about the children and they're against the women. So, of course, those are two extremes that are both wrong. God is not against women and he's not against unborn children. In the heart of Mary is every child, born or unborn, and every woman, especially pregnant women, in the heart of Mary is concerned for every person, and she wants them all to come into union with God. So Mary has to rejoice that this error in the Supreme Court of the United States has been overturned, but not because she's against anybody. The genuinely Marian approach is concern for every single person. It's a mother's approach. It's a heartfelt approach. It's not just a political issue, not just a matter of protests in the streets. Let us protect and treasure every life, every unborn life from conception, every mother who's having a difficulty or is confused about what to do during her pregnancy, every person, every parent who's caring for young children, and everybody. As I said, Mary's heart is big. All the mysteries of creation, redemption, and sanctification, all the concerns about life, about sexuality, about marriage, about social issues, about health, about the pandemic, about the war, we bring them all to Mary. And she treasures them all. She ponders them all. And in pondering them, she intercedes for all. So what we're celebrating today is a big heart, a heart that does not exclude anyone or any topic, but takes everything in and presents it to God, intercedes. That's why when we pray the Hail Mary, we say, pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners. That's all of us now, meaning right now, on this day when we're celebrating the fight against abortion, and when we're trying to counter the errors of the Pride March, now and at the hour of our death, and every time in between, we ask Mary to draw us into the heart of the church, draw us into her Immaculate Heart, because that's where we find God. That's where we find joy in union with God. So that's our celebration today. It's a big, big celebration, a joyful celebration, one that gives us confidence that the kingdom of God can continue to be planted here in all the controversies and confusions. The kingdom of God is not lost or defeated because it's firmly planted in the heart of Mary, and she's taking us all into her heart.